The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
To the air. Dell will dance, dive, and score! What a play, Tank Dell! Touchdown pass, Stroud! 6-yard bullet, and Dell with the lunge. An incredible response by the Houston Texans to that Bengal touchdown moments ago. First and goal. Stroud, he's got six! He's in for the touchdown! First and ten. Little high. Oh, it's picked off! Intercepted in the play by Houston Carson. Springs back up, then brought down on the play by Folsom. First and goal. Boyd caught and ran for 64. Oh, down goes Burrow! Rankins putting up one of the best performances of his terrific career. Underneath they go again, getting close, breaking free! Brown breaking free! Brown to the 20, bulldozing down there! Off the practice squad for the lead, and it is good! It is good! Amendola from 38 yards! And the final is in! And the Texans have won it.
Oh, my God. Was that awesome yesterday or what? Hell yeah, baby. Happy Monday. A victory Monday, as they now say, on Kirby Drive at NRG Stadium as your beloved, our beloved Houston Texans, the wayward son, finally above 500 for the first time in a long time with a signature win against a legitimate Super Bowl contender where your rookie quarterback looked better than the guy who's probably the second best quarterback in all of the NFL. Wow. I am pumped today. After what was a great weekend in Houston sports, I think a lot of people are happy that the Astros hired Joe Espada. Press conference later this afternoon, I think 11 o'clock, technically that's the morning. You've also got the Rockets, 6 wins in a row. They beat the defending champion Denver Nuggets last night. Friday, NBA Cup action. They get a win over the Pelicans. The Houston Dynamo win a game against Real Salt Lake to advance to the MLS Cup playoffs. Nobody was there, but guess what? Your boy was. Your boy was, being a great Italian fan. Texas A&M got rid of Jimbo Fisher. What a great day to be a Houston sports fan. Sean Mapes is thumbsing down that. But everything else, Sean, with the cherry on top, that Texans win yesterday. Ooh, baby. I am hot and bothered. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm just not big on celebrating, you know, people losing their jobs, Paul.
But most Aggies are today. This is a big day for the Aggies. Guess what? When you can afford to pay your troubles away, it is a good thing. I'm actually spin zoning it for the Aggies. This is a good day to be an Aggie fan.
Yeah.
You got a lot of money.
I just have empathy for, you know, him having to move his family.
It must be so hard to make $100 million to not work.
I'm actually not sure if he's married. Yes, it has been a perfect, other than a man losing his job, it's been the perfect sports weekend I guess you could have like team win a championship, but it's a perfect Well, now it seems like I'm cheapening it if I say a perfect regular season weekend.
But it was.
Weekend.
It was. I mean,
it was a good weekend.
The NBA Cup is kind of the postseason, and the MLS Cup is actually the postseason. So there was
the NBA Cup is not the postseason.
It is.
It's the midseason tournament.
It's the postseason.
In-season is in the name.
Yeah, but it's postseason because it's a postseason.
It's tournament play.
Postseason vibes, just like Sunday. Postseason vibes for the Texans.
It did have postseason vibes. Maybe because the Texans beat the Bengals, and that's like 30% of all their playoff wins. But it felt pretty playoffy.
It was pretty incredible. And here's the thing. You know, I so badly want this city to be a place where we are operating like Astros fans for everything. Where we are nitpicking good things. Because that's when you know you've got it made.
Oh, a couple plays go the other way. I got something for offensive genius Bobby Slowick, but they won, so he gets to be an offensive genius still.
Well, Sean, I'm glad you brought that up, and we'll talk about those in a little bit because I do want to start with the positive. But I know the final score had only 3 points of separation between the Texans and the Bengals, but don't get it twisted. It's not just that the Texans won that game yesterday. The Texans kicked the Bengals' ass.
Paul, they won on the last-second field goal.
Yes, you are right. It got close at the end. They got to stop playing with their food. Parents relate. You learn to swallow over time. Talking about children. This was no lucky last-second W for the Texans, though. They're a young team. We believe they're improving, and they could have won this game yesterday by a ton of points. I'm going to go through all the opportunities that they had where they shot themselves in the foot or had some bad luck. First quarter, 4th and 1 of the Bengals 8, down 7-0. They fumbled the snap. Could have been 3 points, could have been 7 points right there. Second quarter, 3rd and 6 of the Bengals 31. Stroud throws an incomplete pass that was called a fumble. I have no idea what the hell that call was. You know it's a bad sign for the refs on the field when the paid referee analyst isn't taking their side. Gene Steratore seemed pretty damn confused by that ruling. So, could have been a tough field goal attempt for Matt Amendola, who made all three of his, but that's another potential 3 points off the board, if not 7 eventually. Second quarter, it's 3rd and 7 with 15 seconds left in the half. The Texans have a timeout. Stroud hits Dalton Schultz right in the hands. Texans would have had the ball at the 4-yard line with at least 2 plays to potentially score a touchdown. They settle for a field goal on that drive. Early in the third quarter, the Texans had the ball at the Bengals 3. C.J. Stroud, who did a bunch of incredible jobs of extending plays in yesterday's game, somehow found Robert Woods in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. I guess he stepped out the back of the end zone. Generally, you trust the referee who's on the back line to determine whether or not the guy was inbounds or out of bounds. CBS camera crews are always lacking in terms of having the angles at replay to show whether or not he was in or out. I honestly have no idea whether or not Robert Woods was in or out. I really don't. But that could have been a touchdown. Instead, they have to settle for a field goal. 5:50 to play. C.J. Stroud hits Noah Brown over the middle. Maybe it's a little bit high, but it hit Brown in the face mask. They would have had a first down. They would have been in potential field goal range. So, right there, we're talking 17 to 29 potential more points there. I did my math. They could have won this game by a lot more. And, yeah, they let Cincy back into it. First off with the big plays that they allowed. 3 Cincinnati plays accounted for 160 of their 380 total yards. 2 of them were touchdowns. And then, of course, you have those third down pass calls. Good God. The play action that was intercepted that Stroud threw. Oh, my God. Take the sack, buddy. Bobby Slowick, you got a little too cute. I get it. You're from the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. Explosiveness. Shots. Run
pew,
the ball.
Pew, pew.
Exactly, Sean. Well, that's what I want to do to whoever ran that in. Pew, pew. Squirt gun, of course, because we can't do the real gun on Twitter or in the emoji world anymore. That would be cancelable, but whoever called that in, bad job. This was a good team. over the last couple of years, we would be crushing Slowik for that. We would be nitpicking that more than anything in the victory. But again, the Texans are babies. Then next third down opportunity, it's 3rd and 3. Singletary had 30 carries for 150 yards. Let's throw it deep down the right sideline and run no time off the clock. So all those things that I just listed there, and obviously football is a game of inches. Football is a game of woulda, shoulda, coulda. But the Texans kicked the Bengals' ass on Sunday, and those are all the places where the final score would have been a lot different than the one that we saw yesterday. And what I'm looking forward to, because it's definitely going to happen, is a moment in the future where we, as those who follow the Houston Texans or root for the Houston Texans or cover the Houston Texans, can bitch and moan about all of those things. Instead, we're like, yeah, you know what? It's a young team. They're playing against an actual Super Bowl contender on the road. You expect those things to happen. But some of those things change. We're talking about a Texans ass kicking. And yeah, the Texans kicked the Bengals' ass yesterday, even though they won the game on a walk-off field goal. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. No team's ever going to be perfect. We're a lot more forgiving with a young Texans team, but they stomped the Bengals throughout this one. And yeah, there was some luck on their own front too. Stroud could have thrown at least one pick, and Boyd did drop that what would have been go-ahead touchdown in the last couple of minutes. Hit him right in the hands after Sheldon Rankins, with his third sack of the game, made it a very difficult goal-to-go situation for the Bengals. No doubt about it. But that was an ass-kicking yesterday. Do not let the three-point final margin of victory, the walk-off field goal, fool you. The Texans just kicked a Super Bowl contender's ass. The score just begs to differ.
But Paul, the score is all that matters.
Shut up. That argument was great. And you know it. You know it. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well. You can join on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. And you can tweet me as well. @GallantSays. I suppose that for some University of Houston Cougar football fans, the weekend could have been a little bit better if, I don't know, the Cougs followed suit. With Texas A&M did. Would that have made it a little bit better? I think some people are very frustrated with Dana Holgerson still running the show with those Cougs. We're calling for another man's job, but I mean,
yeah. There'll probably be maybe a couple more weekends.
Come on, Mississippi State did it today too. Everyone's firing their coach. Just fire your coach.
It's hilarious that Mississippi State and A&M played a game on Saturday, and on Monday, neither of them, by Monday, both of them fired their coach.
It's crazy that Texas A&M won that game too.
I mean,
they decided on Thursday. They let him coach the game, cold-blooded. And then after the game, not knowing he was about to be canned, he said they were 3 to 4 plays away from being a playoff team.
I mean,
that's true.
Not really.
That is true. They were technically 3 to 4 plays away.
Sure. If you just take every like interception and turn it into a touchdown, maybe.
Maybe.
Selectively.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, it I mean, I'd get it why A&M fired Jimbo Fisher, because it's like a win against Mississippi State should not like change the way you view your program.
It shouldn't.
It's honestly kind of stupid that any college team would be like, well, let's see. We want to fire him, but let's see how he does the last three games of the season.
Great point. But, I mean, Jimbo Fisher was pulling out all the stops before this game. Did you see how they had somebody dressed up as Max Johnson warming up so that Mississippi State would think that Max Johnson maybe would play? In Jimbo's defense, if Connor Wigman doesn't get hurt, where are we right now? I don't think Jimbo gets fired without Connor Wigman getting hurt.
They don't get fired, or he doesn't get fired. But
people are annoyed.
They're probably then only like 2 or 3 plays away from a being in the playoff.
Yeah, there you go.
Instead of 3 or 4.
That's Sean Mapes behind the glass on Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A question for you: after the Texans won that game, what is the ceiling for this year's team? 10 wins, division title, 1 or more playoff wins, Super Bowl. You decide. At Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes, 713-780-3776. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
Women bathing their dogs, you know, in cut-off jeans and T-shirts and with the soap. And you know how it gets all wet and in the water.
Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
First, second down and seven. Hendrickson blocked at the last second. And look at the twirling and escaping Stroud, and somehow he finds his receiver.
I love Kevin Harlan on the call. It's so cool to have the Texans have a game that's broadcasted by, I think, arguably the best play-by-play guy in the game. He's great on the NBA. He's great doing Monday Night Football on the radio. He is awesome for football games, and I think it's a crime that he's as low on the totem pole as he is. But my guy Kevin Harlan did not do that play that you just heard justice. Do yourself a favor if you've DVR'd the game or you got NFL Plus. Go to 13:45 left in the third quarter, or check my Twitter because I posted the video of it. C.J. Stroud on that play drops back in the pocket, steps up, evades the defender, does a spin move, rolls to his right, throws on the run to his right for the first down on that play. It was like watching vintage Russell Wilson during my time in Seattle, more specifically in 2012 when Russell Wilson was a rookie. There are some similarities between the two in the way that they extend plays behind the line of scrimmage.
And for, if we have any younger listeners out there, Russell Wilson used to be an awesome quarterback.
He used to be great.
He used to be awesome.
I will say
he used
this.
He's like top 10.
Sean, we're going to learn a lot about Russell Wilson tonight. Have you seen Russell Wilson's statistics?
Better than you think. Right?
Way better than you think.
Yeah.
I think he's got 16 touchdown passes to 4 interceptions this year. Surprisingly good.
The Sean Payton difference.
Now, I don't know if it's all coming in garbage time. And I know that there have been some moments where the Broncos' offense has looked very bad this year. But the Texans do play the Broncos in a couple of weeks. So, interesting game tonight against the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football. At least as far as primetime games go.
I mean, that's grading on such a curve.
Very low bar.
How was this game? How is Browns-Ravens not?
Because no one respects the Texans.
A flex.
It's because no one respects the Texans, and it's because no one respects
Lamar
the
Jackson?
AFC North.
Oh, wait. They probably don't want to put Deshaun Watson in prime time.
Oh, it's too soon. Yeah, you got to wait until he's had a full season back in the NFL.
Yeah.
So maybe the Christmas Eve game against the Texans?
I mean, you need some buffer, like with Ben Roethlisberger. You need some buffer before we can just forget it ever happened.
Oh, we did. You're right. Some comments on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stop with the hot and bothered talk. Excuse you. Do not try to give me deep steel blue balls, sir. Did you not see that highlight that I just played for you? Audio-wise, go to my Twitter. Akalon says, do yourself a favor. You're going to see that play, and you're going to be like, oh, my God, did I miss that? Whoa. Another Texan fan has the right feeling. Go Texans. Balls on parade. Hell yeah. Because they showed some balls. They showed some onions. On the road against the Bengals team, a game that they honestly should have blown out. They answered and answered and answered again when the Bengals punched them in the mouth. Some more texts. H-Town loving the way the Texans and Rockets are balling out. Texans and Rockets both putting the NFL, NBA on notice. Rolling. Yes. Everything is good. Everything is good here in Houston when it comes to sports.
Everything's fine. Everything's good.
Everything's fine and good and fine. Nothing wrong.
Normally,
I'm feeling great.
Yeah, but normally you say that when things are bad.
I do. But
so this is not an appropriate time to use that.
I got nothing to complain about right now. Truly. Everything is good.
Yeah.
Even Jimbo got canned. Like, it's a great day to be a sports fan in Houston.
If Bobby Sloak...
Listen.
We're so close to being able to keep Bobby Slowick for next year. Now he's going to get a head coaching job because they won this game.
Oh, so we're back here to Bobby, yes. Slowick's the greatest offensive mind ever.
He's either he's either when they lose, he sucks.
Yeah.
When he wins, he's going to get a head coaching job next year.
I know.
That's what you need to learn.
I know. I don't have to like it though. Can we just be calm? Can we?
No.
Okay.
We can't.
Fine. Fine.
It's football time in Houston, Paul.
It is football time in Houston, and the Texans are
finally
ready to
play. Here.
Oh, that's true. Can't wait for the 11 o'clock montage. You thought me dancing to Goodbye Horses, didn't do any tucking, thought that was cool? Well, guess what? Wait until 11 o'clock. By the way, speaking of tucking, tuck rule? I'd like the tuck rule back for that one CJ Stroud fumble. What the hell was that? Anyway, I asked this question on Twitter. Akalon says at ESPN 97.5, what is the ceiling for the 2023 Houston Texans? Four options here. 10 wins. By the way, who was the only host at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 who predicted that the Texans would have 10 wins this year? Do you know, Sean?
Josh Beard?
Nope, me. Oh. Josh Beard called me an idiot when I said that. 37% have voted for division title as the ceiling for the 2023 Texans. The other options, one or more playoff wins, Super Bowl. Division title as the ceiling is 37%. 10 wins, 23.9%. One or more playoff wins, 22.8%. An amazing 16% think Super Bowl is the ceiling.
I mean,
how times have changed in just 2 weeks.
Technically, it is the ceiling. If you're saying they make the playoffs, then
it's the ceiling for every team when you think about
it. Yeah, well, and
it was a ceiling for last year's team, too, under Lovie Smith. It was the ceiling for the team the year before that.
Until you're mathematically eliminated, yeah. By the way, you saw them against the Bengals. Bengals are a pretty good team, huh?
Pretty good. Super Bowl contender.
Jags, pretty good, huh?
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, they might make the playoffs. Ravens, they hung in there.
Hung in there. That's true.
Ravens stuck down. Texans stuck up.
Bucks, they're in playoff contention.
Yeah, if we see them in the Super Bowl.
Colts,
we got their number.
They're 5-5. So, I mean, that loss looks a little bit better. The Falcons lost to Kyler Murray. Murray next up on the schedule for the Texans. How about that?
Texans would be out if they had a playoff committee, because they have some pretty rough losses.
Yeah, they do.
they don't have any good losses. Any quality losses.
Any team can win on any given Sunday in the NFL, Sean. People don't say that enough.
They should make a movie about that.
I would love to watch it. Have they ever done that before?
Old quarterback gets hurt.
Yeah, I don't know.
Popping pills.
You know, we have an old white quarterback, and we have like a young black quarterback, and there's a racial dynamic that we add in there too.
Yeah, and we need a coach with some gravitas.
Yeah, like an over the top Italian.
Yeah, De Niro.
Oh, that sounds great. I love that. Look at that. It's like we're doing lines in a studio here. You know, we're just putting out bangers.
That's the Liberty White powder that's all over your desk right now.
Hell yeah! Listen, we're just doing what everybody else does. We're just remaking movies. It's fine. Any Given Sunday 2. The Legend of Curly's Gold. In my opinion, answering this question that I asked you, a division title is no longer the ceiling. It's the expectation. So I'm in one or more playoff wins. I'm expecting a division title right now. Did you see the Jaguars yesterday? We'll talk about it a little bit in the 10-minute drill. But the Jaguars are frauds. F-R-A-U-D-S. I did spell it right there. Frauds. They got their asses kicked by the 49ers. And the 49ers are a really good team, but they had lost three in a row. You would think that the Jaguars, if they were a true competitor, would hang in that game. And I'm sorry, I just do not buy into them. I go back to last year. They only won that playoff game because the Chargers outchoked them. They threw four interceptions in the first quarter. Trevor Lawrence, very overrated, on the same level as, speaking of the Chargers, Justin Herbert. And I think they're going to win the division. Now it's a matter of, okay, how many games can you win in the playoffs? In an AFC that I do not know really who is the second best team. The Chiefs are the front runner because they're the Chiefs. Who's the second best team? I honestly do not know the answer to that question, because the Baltimore Ravens yesterday blew a lead against the Cleveland Browns. Maybe the Browns are? Deshaun Watson looked great in the second half, as much as I want to continue to dump on him. He was awful in the first half, but second half he was 14 of 14. And the Browns scored on all three of the offensive drives that they had, including a game-winning field goal to wrap the thing up. But for me, division title is no longer the ceiling. It's the expectation. One or more playoff wins is the ceiling, I think, for this Texans team. But what do you think? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can also vote there. At Gallant says, at ESPN975. I think we all believed, going into yesterday's Texans game, that this is the toughest game for the Texans the rest of the way. I still feel that way. However, the schedule did get a little bit tougher on paper. You'll hear how next. Stick around. First, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. You want to enter promo code BET975. Your first deposit, they're going to match it. We're talking up to $1,000 here, people. And then once you sign up, you can play with that money right away. How you feeling about this Monday night football game tonight? You've got a Denver Broncos team that's looked better of late. They're 7-point dogs against the Buffalo Bills, who have been very, very up and down, but for the most part, down this year. Are Sean Payton and the Broncos figuring things out? I'm not going to lie. I like the Broncos here as a dog play. +7, I think the Broncos can cover that. The Bills love to shoot themselves in the foot. And you can bet on that at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975 to bet on that game or any other games that you might want to bet on. Simple, easy website. You go there, mybookie.ag. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Planet Unicorn, hey.
Give it up for feathers. Ooh, Cadillac and Tom Cruise.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Excellent job by Mixon.
First and 10. Little high. Oh, it's picked off. Intercepted on the play by Houston Carson. Springs back up. Then brought down on the play by Volson.
In a weekend where Houston sports are on top, how about Houston Carson with an interception that helped the Houston Texans get a win on Sunday? Teach.
C minus Berman. I like that a guy named Houston got an interception, though. I mean, just continuing to add to the mystique of Houston sports right now. I asked in the last segment, hey, what's the ceiling for the Houston Texans this season? Is it 10 wins? Is it division title? One or more playoff wins? Or a Super Bowl? And I got a, I think, really deep response. From the text line, 713-780-3776. The roof is the ceiling. Hell yeah. Wait, isn't that bad? Doesn't that mean that there is a ceiling and that this isn't just an open sky with a direct path to heaven for the Texans?
I will say, Michael Jordan did say that at a UNC basketball game early in, I want to say like 2017 or something.
I know that comes from Michael Jordan.
He said, the ceiling is the roof. And everyone clapped and went crazy. And then we're like, wait, are we just clapping because Michael Jordan said a thing?
Yes.
That said the word ceiling in it and pointed up. And but then that Carolina team went on to win the national championship.
And it was because he said that.
Because he's Michael Jordan.
Some more comments here. Why do you have to equate everything to relationships or girlfriends past? It's sports, Paul. Because I'm lonely. I'm lonely, fella. I'm
a lonely man. Did you do that last segment?
I don't think I did. I'm running out of options. I'm just saying I'm running out of options. No, I that wasn't relating to relationships or girlfriends. That was relating to arousal. I'm talking about Battle Red Pants 10 and Deep Steel Blue Balls. Another comment from Greg Todd, twitch.tv/ESPN975. The part I liked was when the announcers said, oh no, they left too much time for CJ. Ain't that the truth? All right, guys. They're one game out in the AFC South, the Texans. The 49ers kill the Jaguars, 34-3. Texans play the Jaguars in 2 weeks at NRG Stadium, and they, of course, beat them again in Jacksonville, 37-17 earlier. That was the first game where I think people started to think, oh, maybe it will be fun to watch Houston Texans football this season. As far as this game, look, San Francisco's really good. I know they had lost 3 games in a row, but they were going to right the ship at some point. Trevor Lawrence, here are his numbers before CJ Beathard came into the game to wrap things up. 17 of 29, 185 yards, 2 interceptions, sacked 5 times, lost a fumble as well. That's a pathetic output. And people aren't as hard on the Jaguars as they should be. Last year was fun. Last year was cute. Doug Peterson's so much better than Urban Meyer. But that roster ain't that good. And there are some people who really want the Jaguars to be a thing again. Sorry, it ain't Mark Brunell, Fred Taylor, Keenan McCardell, Jimmy Smith, like those teams back in the day.
John Henderson's not walking through that door.
No, he's not. It would be sick if he was walking through that door. We like John Henderson. But this Jaguars team is very fraudulent. And I think it's a disappointment if the Texans don't win the division based off of what we saw from the Texans the last 2 weeks and based off of this game, another dud by Jacksonville against a good team. But that schedule ahead for the Texans is looking a little bit tougher. Kyler Murray led the Cardinals on a 70-yard game-winning drive in his first game back with Arizona to give Arizona a 25-23 win over Atlanta. The Texans host Kyler Murray and the Cardinals Sunday. They did get those two interceptions, one of which you heard coming back in, of Joe Burrow. But Burrow did have a lot of great moments in this game. It was great that the Texans finally got a couple of takeaways, and they got some sacks here too. But Burrow made a lot of plays. It stands to reason that much like Joe Burrow, but also Desmond Ridder, Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew, Anthony Richardson, it stands to reason that Kyler Murray will make some plays of his own this coming Sunday, and that the Texans defense will, again, give opportunities to a quarterback who is either not as talented as we think he is, which we mentioned some of those guys, or potentially rusty. Because I imagine there's still some cobwebs that Murray has to shake off.
Yeah, they didn't have... They did the brotherly shove at some point, but they brought in Clayton Toon to do it. So they had two rushing touchdowns from two different quarterbacks, which is very funny.
Like that.
But yes, I do think that this... The next week's game could be another... Maybe this is just what the Texans do. They just get in shootouts with everyone, and then you leave CJ Stroud too much time. And they
I like that.
And then...
It's fun. I'm not going to lie, though. I like blowouts. I like blowouts more than close games.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What? I don't like close games.
Wow.
Well, some people like close games. I hate close
games. Do people like close games?
I think some people like close games.
Like when their team is playing. You're saying there's people out there that are like, I'd rather we win close than win by 28.
Probably, because, I mean, there is an emotional high that you're on after it ends like that.
So you're saying some Niners fan out there is like, man,
I wish we won close game.
Can't believe we beat them by 31 points.
I was bored. I want to live again. I want to live a little.
I don't know. There's probably some people out there. They're like, yeah, I want to live a little. It's like gambling addicts and
stuff. I'm not one of those people.
MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975. The Baltimore Ravens played the Cleveland Browns and had a big lead over a Browns team that the Texans play Christmas Eve. Cleveland was down 24-9. They were down 31-17. They rallied from being down 31-17 in literally 40 seconds. It's a touchdown by Deshaun Watson, and then they had a crazy pick six of Lamar Jackson where the ball deflected up in the air, I want to say like 15 to 20 yards before it came down into a Brown defender's hands. He took it in to the house. Deshaun Watson was awful. In the first half, there was a moment in this game where he was 6 of 18, but he finished the game 14 of 14 for 134 yards and a touchdown. Maybe the Browns offense is finally figuring things out, because that's a Baltimore Ravens team that killed two pretty good teams that they played in the last couple of weeks, the Lions and the Seahawks. Tyreek Hill, Chiefs wide receiver, seems to be taking sides with Deshaun Watson, saying of Watson's performance, man, a lot of Watson critics quiet all of a sudden. Is he Mulugeta client too, Tyreek Hill or something? I'm wondering why he thought it would be smart for him, a guy who has gotten a very, very, very beneficial second chance, siding with another guy who has gotten a very, very beneficial second chance in the NFL.
I think that's why. It's like, hey, Mulugeta, guys, forgive people like me. I think that's what it is. And, you know, I think people forget that fans are like care way more about this than players seemingly do. Like everyone on the Browns is like, we love having Deshaun Watson. Like you just have to. I think people, especially online, get too caught up in like, hey, guess what? These guys don't really care about that stuff. They just kind of want to win football games.
There's got to be some players who are like, this guy's a creep.
I'm sure there are, but it's not going to be Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, definitely not him. So, Texans play the Cardinals. They won. Texans play the Browns. They won. They also play the Colts again. They beat the Patriots 10-6 in Frankfurt. Bill Belichick has yet to be fired. Bill O'Brien lost his mind on Mac Jones. Bailey Zappi came in and had like the absolute worst end-of-game interception I've ever seen, which is saying something because of the interception that Mac Jones threw 50 seconds before that. And I want to die as a Patriots fan, so I'm just, you know what, follow the strong. Die-hard Houston Texans fan now.
I know the Colts won, but they do not get credit for anything. Like, you can't go, the Colts look a little bit tougher.
They're just 5-5.
They beat the Patriots 10-6.
They're 5-5, and you should have beaten them, but they convincingly beat the Texans. It was a lot of garbage time numbers for C.J. Stroud in that game, not to say that he didn't look good in that game. So, tougher games on the schedule. I guess the Colts don't really apply there, but it's also gotten a little bit easier. Will Levis and the Titans fell back to earth. They lost to the Bucs 20-6. Levis looked very, very human. So that's good to see. Poor Jeremy Branham. He had two great weeks with that take. The Jets. Jake Asman's beloved New York Jets. He went out to Vegas for that game. Glutton for punishment, those Jets fans are. They lost 16-12 in Sunday Night Football. I guess the only game that the Texans have left that might get flexed per DJ Bien-Aimé is that Jets game on December 10th. Why would they flex that game?
Do they know
Aaron Rodgers is coming back?
That's what I showed it to you. It's because it's very fun. Well, he did say he was targeting mid-December. Would put her in
he
that
said
rank.
That was. He said he was a fortnight away from returning. You know,
no,
what?
He said a few fortnights.
Right, so that's a month. I guess this is. That is a month. You know
perfectly
what?
A month. That's why I sent you, because it's so funny. Of all the Texans games, it's like we always complain about the Jets being on primetime. The only Texans game that might get put onto primetime
is the Jets.
Is when they play the Jets.
Would you want that to be put in primetime? If it's against the Jets.
Sure.
I don't really want it to, because the Jets defense is good enough where it would be a very, very difficult game. And the Texans defense is suspect enough that Zach Wilson might look good.
No, come on.
He might look good. What? Every quarterback's looked good against them this year.
They haven't played Zach Wilson.
That's true. We'll see what the Broncos look like. The Texans also play them. That's on December 3rd. Meanwhile, the Cowboys cooked the Giants 49-17. The spread was 16 on that game, and I was like, no way. And the Cowboys covered in the first quarter, I think.
They're up 21-0 at halftime.
Yeah, it was
maybe even 28-0.
I think it was 28-0 at halftime. I don't know if it was 28-0 at the end of the first.
Yeah.
Nate Burleson made this claim during the CBS broadcast about the Texans versus the Cowboys. And sadly, we're going to have to wait a little bit because the Giants showed up not at all in this game yesterday. Nate, give us
that. I don't want to cause a kerfuffle between Houston and Dallas fans, but right now the Texans are making a case for the best NFL team in Texas, and their play week by week is really showing up.
All right. Battle for Texas. Do the Texans have the upper hand?
Nah. It feels hasty to do that.
Did you see on the bottom line, first take, is Dak Prescott an all-time great Cowboys quarterback?
I did see that.
Why aren't we talking about C.J. Stroud? The only reason the Texans were on the front page of ESPN was because some jackass won with a $500,000 parlay. He won $5 million because the Texans won the game last. Screw that guy. C.J. Stroud's an MVP candidate. They just beat the Bengals. What are we doing here? What are we doing? Why are they not talking about this at first take? On first take. Why aren't they doing it?
Was Jim Harbaugh's punishment enough?
No.
It wasn't enough?
I don't care. Who cares? You know what? Brothers in arms, Michigan, Patriots, Astros. Jim Harbaugh's fine. That's not even a story. ESPN. ESPN focusing on bringing somebody's name down as opposed to giving C.J. Stroud his flowers. Outrageous. Kenny G has a thought. 713-780-3776. What's going on?
Yeah, C.J. Stroud is a fraud. He's an Ohio State USU quarterback. They never pan out the league. The defenses are going to adjust next year. We should be talking about the Astros and their new manager.
Are you being sarcastic? C.J. Stroud's a fraud?
No. Ohio State quarterbacks don't pan out of the NFL.
Yeah, you're stupid.
You're
banned from the show. You're banned from the show. Bye. I'm done. Two calls. Outrageously stupid takes.
At least, like,
Kenny G out.
At least, like, I don't know, bring some.
C.J. Stroud's a fraud, and you're saying, yeah, Ohio State quarterbacks. He might be different.
I mean, there's two pretty good Ohio State quarterbacks on the field on Sunday.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, degree from Ohio State.
That's true.
CJ Stroud went to Ohio
State. That's so true.
Played at Ohio State. They went to Ohio State.
What does he want us to say about Joe Espada? They hired him. Cool. Happy Monday. This is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Guys, was this a perfect weekend in Houston sports? Let's power rank all the things that happened over the weekend. The Astros have a manager. The Rockets. They're winning games. The Dynamo. Oh, they're advancing in the MLS Cup playoffs. Jimbo gone. Dana Holgerson's not gone. But everything is great in Houston sports. But what's the best? It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Hey, love you guys, man.
Come on, man.
Hey, we talk about finishing. Every snap, and when it goes down to the last snap, and we finish it, I love it. Mm. All right, I love it. Mm. Come on the road and be the really good team. Yes, yes. But guess what?
Happy Victory Monday, everybody. Texans took down the Bengals 30-27. The Houston Rockets have won 6 games in a row. An NBA Cup victory on Friday. A win over the defending champs, the Nuggets, last night. Jeff Green turning back the clock. Fred VanVleet looking great. Dynamo. I don't know how the MLS Cup playoffs work. Hell, I didn't even know how the game worked. I went to that game on Saturday. No one was there, and I thought that there would be actual overtime. Nope, they just go straight to penalty kicks now in the MLS Cup playoffs. That's something. But the Dynamo advance over Real Salt Lake. A&M got rid of Jimbo Fisher. I think every Aggie fan is relieved that that's over and that the Aggies have enough money to buy out a contract like that. Props to you. You got a thick wallet. It's okay to big D it every now and then. Speaking of Big D, you know what? We love to talk Cowboys. Not because we like to talk about the Cowboys. We love ratings. And when you talk about the Dallas Cowboys, as ESPN has proven time and time again, you get ratings. Mike in Humble has a thought on Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. Mike?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing wonderful.
Oh, man. I'm just laughing how give respect on Dak Prescott. Prescott, how are you going to get respect when you play the Chargers team in the NFL?
Yeah, they were talking about Dak as one of the greatest all-time Cowboy quarterbacks on First Take, and I'm with you. A win against the Giants is not making us reevaluate Dak. You got to beat Philly, really. Like that's the unfortunate thing he's got to do. And until he does that, like, what are we doing? You know, like, I think more than anything right now, if you're in Dallas and you're trying to defend the idea that Dak Prescott's like the best quarterback in the state of Texas, I mean, you'd be wrong. CJ Stroud, top 3 quarterback right now.
Oh, man, that's my man. I mean, I'm old school. I mean, I love the Oilers. When the Oilers left, I had to pick a team. Mm-hmm. I went to 49ers. Then I went to military when they got a team.
Okay.
Unfortunately, and then we got Carr. And I was like, oh, man.
But you can come back.
I should have been a 49ers.
Mike, come back. Come back to us, okay? It's fine. We can all admit, like, there's been some tough times. And you could leave that team.
Oh, no, I'm Texas fan all the way.
Hell yeah. Mike's in. Are you in?
Oh, man. Once we got a team, I'm Houston all the way.
Nothing wrong with
Rockets,
that. Appreciate the phone call, Mike. Nothing wrong with waiting until the team gets good to come on back in. And guess what? We might be doing that with the Houston Rockets now. So Friday they played the NBA Cup game. They had a dramatic flourish at the end led by Fred VanVleet to get the W. And since it happened on Friday, it's a little dated, but on that red court, oh man, just popping a little bit too much maybe. Fred VanVleet hits this shot and Toyota Center, much like NRG Stadium, will hopefully have a pulse Sunday against the Cardinals. It had a pulse.
Hawkins back to Van Fleet. Rockets down by two. Van Fleet for three. Oh! How about that?
There was no hesitation in the building.
There was no hesitation in the building. Shout out to Craig Ackerman and Ryan Hollins, the Space City Home Network on the call. Yeah, I'm on the Rockets bandwagon, as Junior Broncos asks. They play tough defense, and while maybe Alperen Şengün against Nikola Jokic is a tad one-sided, Jokic did have a triple-double. By the way, that was the headline coming out of the game. Jokic, triple-double. The Rockets won. They've won their six in a row. Why can't this city get any effing respect?
Nah, dude, triple-double's where it's at.
It's the Third Coast bias. They hate us. They hate us because they ain't us. They hate us because, like, our water's the warmest. Gulf Coast, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. Yeah, it's a little muddy. There's some poop in it. Third Coast bias. No one talks about the teams in Houston right now. Top of the sports world. And the Astros have a manager, Joe Espada. All I got is cool. That's really all I have. Yeah. But a lot of people seem to be happy about it. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the press conference, which is, I think, scheduled to start in a couple of minutes. Dana Brown is the only one who's going to be out there. Doesn't sound like Jim Crane's going to be there. So I think Jim Crane's trying to show everybody that Dana Brown is in command. And it remains to be seen whether or not that is good. I just want to remind people of that. Yeah, you're moving on from Dusty Baker, the guy who hates analytics, the guy who is so sensitive and hated the bloggers and the tweeters and the radio hosts. But now you got the guy who is probably going to do exactly what Dana Brown tells him to do. And I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing. I do like the idea of continuity, though. And a lot of people were rejoicing over no Brad Ausmus as manager. So there you go. Great weekend for Houston sports fans. And on top of that, Jimbo Fisher.
Again, I just wish the best for Jimbo and his family.
It's such a hard time.
He's going to have... Well, maybe he doesn't move out of College Station. It's such a nice place to live. So,
you know, you think of that. I'm going to think about what Seth Davis said. Because, Sean Mapes, we're talking about $100 million. Dollars.
Take of the year.
We're talking about $100 million here. Think about how all that $100 million could have been spent on starving children. Because that's what Seth Davis brought up. And Seth is right. That's $100 million that the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies, a university that's just the hallmark of integrity and being a part of the community. I mean, you see it in all the commercials. Like, we're different here. Well, are you different?
They had the choice of feeding starving children or fire Jimbo Fisher, and they chose to fire Jimbo Fisher.
They fired Jimbo Fisher.
Seth Davis on top of it.
Is that a violation of the Aggie code? 713-780-3776. Did they violate the code in giving $100 million to fire their coach as opposed to feeding the children? 713-780-3776. Embrace debate. Embrace debate. Coming up next on the Paul Gallant Show, give me a legitimate argument as to why C.J. Stroud is not just an MVP candidate. Why is he not the number one MVP candidate? I don't think you're going to be able to do it. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
I want the ball. Give me the ball.